In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I mentioned several times over the past few weeks, that this is Christmas time. It takes place from Christmas Day and goes all the way until February 2nd, Candlemas Day, or also known as the Feast of the Purification of Mary. And during this period of time, there are several graces that are given to us more in abundance than they are at other times. And they come largely by our reflection on the hidden life of Jesus Christ. The hidden life is that period of time from basically now, as we would understand, his birth, right up until the time he begins his public life with his baptism by John in the Jordan and then gathering of his apostles together and going forth and preaching, building up what he called the kingdom of God, establishing the church, the works of the sacraments, and so forth. And so there's this whole, the period of time for his hidden life is about 30-year period of time. So it shows that our Lord spent most of his time in this. It's not very little as recorded in the scriptures. There's one snippet of it in the gospel of today that we see where Jesus was lost in the temple, if you will, and Mary and Joseph found him, and the other part of the mystery that comes from that. So we see during this time we reflect on some of those things and other thoughts that are brought before us so that we have examples of his life, and through that learn from these the graces that he has won for us and all of these different examples now to apply them better in our lives. As I also mentioned, one of the graces that we pray for during Christmastide is a grace that comes to us more in abundance this time, again, than it does at other times during the church, is a devotion to Mary, or rather, the way the liturgists put it, the ones who write on the sacred liturgy and help us to understand the spirit of the liturgy, they call it the mystery of Mary. The mystery is there about what it is we understand about the Blessed Virgin Mary, her role in our lives, her role in the salvation of men, why God chose her to be the Mother of God, and its continuing choosing of her and showing her great favor all through her life and even now, up through this very moment in human history. We're going to look then today at this mystery of Mary. What we want to do is reflect upon certain things about the Blessed Virgin Mary, some things that are taught to us in the Catechism give us some good understanding of who Mary is. And if you've taken time to review your Catechism from time to time on that subject, then this mystery of Mary becomes a little less than a mystery. We'll never fully solve it in this life. I think it'll only be fully revealed to us in life to come. But yet, nevertheless, by our reflections, by our prayers, by our study, we start to understand who Mary is more and more and her role in our salvation. And we start to understand why it is the saints say that devotion to Mary is absolutely necessary for salvation. Now, I know that's offensive to non-Catholics. Mary is just a creature. They want to remind us she's not God. What you have to have, if you're going to be someone to save your soul, you have to be united in faith to Jesus Christ, and that be saved, and then that way you'll save your soul. But there's more to it. More in the work that God has done to and with Mary that we must study. This is where the mystery comes up. Those who refuse to look into this mystery, well, they're like the non-Catholics. They reject so many things about Mary that we understand and help us to grow more in love with her and understand that she is our mother and intercedes for us in every way. But there are also lax Catholics out there. May mumble a rosary from time to time, say the Hail Mary perhaps every day, and call that their devotion to Mary. They may know about Fatima or Lourdes or someplace like that, but those things are not necessarily part of the mystery of Mary. The mystery of Mary is who she is, who she is in the plan of God, so that we can better understand her. Well, let's get started then. This is what the things that we do know of this mystery. Mary is a special creation of God. She's a human being, but a special one created by God as a human being. Created for one purpose, to be the mother of God. And so because that is the purpose for which she was created, then everything about her life goes back to reflect on this work of redemption which she helped to accomplish. She helped because she was the mother of the Savior. It was through her that Jesus was born into the world. It was because she said yes to the angel Gabriel that she became the mother of God, and our redemption, according to the plan of God, the way God wanted to do it, it was according to that particular point that our redemption was accomplished. So she is the special creation. She's free from sin. We adore God. We give Him all what is called adoration. He is our creator. We are His creatures, slaves, if you will. We owe to Almighty God everything in this proper act of adoration, bending our knee before Him, worshiping Him in all things, especially at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But we also honor those who are the friends of God, the saints and the angels. But in between the two, the adoration given to Almighty God and the honor given to the saints and the angels, there is another point of honor that's reserved just for the Blessed Virgin Mary. We don't worship her. We don't call these statues or that picture images of God. We don't. But they remind us of she who this mystery we're speaking of today. We come and we pray before her because we know she is our good mother. We give to her a higher degree of honor than we give to the saints or even the angels, simply because God has honored her so much as to have her be the mother of God. Nobody else can claim that title. Nobody else was sinless. And of all the creation of men, ever is born in original sin, except for the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was conceived without sin. In this way, she is the special creation from God. So, and then through this, rather, too, she has also other prerogatives. These are things that she would never have thought to ask for, but God bestowed upon her. Like I said, the Immaculate Conception, the Divine Maternity, these type of things. Special favors that God gave to her, specifically because she is the mother of God. And God, in planning for His mother, gave to His mother such special things that I think you and I would have done if we had a way of choosing who our mothers were and what special gifts they could have before they gave birth to us. So this is, like you want to call it, the theology of Mary. It's the foundation of this mystery of Mary. And explains to us God's plan for our salvation. He could have accomplished our salvation in any way He wished. He could have just come down with angels on a throne. He could have just walked in one particular area of the world, said a prayer, and through that prayer, worked for the redemption of mankind. He could have, but He didn't. God the Father would have accepted that because it's still the prayer of the God-man. Even if Jesus didn't become man, took on the form like the angels do, take on the form of looking like angels, but still in spirits, even if Jesus had done that and said that prayer on this earth, it would have been acceptable to Almighty God if that's what the Father wished. It's not. Jesus had to become man and still remain God and suffer and die. He had to be among men in all things like to men except sin, St. Paul teaches us. So the plan for the salvation of mankind, to save men from their own sins and to make reparation for those sins that they have committed against Almighty God, starts with Mary. Because without her, according to this plan, Jesus would not be born, which is our whole subject of thinking during this Christmastide. But besides this part of the theology of Mary, her mystery is that Mary is there not only so that Jesus, the theology part, can the incarnation can take place, and we can see the God and man in Mary, and Mary is the mother of the Son of God, but without losing her virginity. So she is the ever-virgin, blessed Virgin Mary in all these particular things. These are parts of the mystery, to see how God so loved her as to preserve these things in her. But through these things, we start to learn God's plan for Mary in our lives. It's for our sanctification, for us to be holy. We know that Jesus has taught to us in the Scriptures. He says, this is the will of God. Well, St. Paul actually says this. This is the will of God, your sanctification. And Jesus tells us and teaches, and it's the word of God Himself that we have to pay attention to it. You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We're not supposed to make compromises with sin and let sin dwell in our souls. We're supposed to be holy in every way at all times in our lives. And it's Mary who helps us to fulfill this. Here's how God does this. This is how the work of God in this mystery of Mary helps us. First of all, we see from the scriptures a little bit today, in today's gospel, how Mary shows the concern for Jesus in finding him. As a parent, she should and would. The greatest, most loving of all parents ever to have, to one whom she knows as the Son of God, she has this worry that he is lost and searches 3 days with her spouse, St. Joseph, until they can find him. And in finding him, she receives special words from him. But she acknowledges that she sought him sorrowing. She will help us to always seek after God in our lives in every way. And if we be in sin, to seek sorrow and forgiveness for our sins, and make that purpose of amendment not to fall back into them again. This is part of the mystery of Mary working for us in our salvation. From the cross, Jesus gave Mary to St. John, and St. John to Mary. Son to mother, mother to son. But the fathers and doctors of the church tell us that what is symbolized also through that is that Jesus gave to Mary, all of us, we who are children of God, we are members of the mystical body of Christ, living members, in a state of grace trying to please God with sorrow for our sin, a loving desire to do all that we can for God and to gain heaven. Mary is our mother, not just a saint or an advocate or someone we pray to. She's actually our mother and looks after us in all motherly care. She gives great intercession for us as a result for that and for the church itself. These two areas of understanding Mary's role in our salvation and how God works with her for us is a teaching that's unfolded century by century by century in the church until we've come to our age. The church taught greatly in the early ages of the church, and man fought against it. We had wars and things like that. Jesus appeared to others, gave Corpus Christi and other particular things here to help to sanctify men. He even gave to St. Margaret Mary the devotion to his Sacred Heart, that men would understand the love and mercy of God for them. But people still had cold hearts. And so it seems like God is saying in heaven, okay, maybe this will move men. I will send my mother, their mother. I will send her to come and speak to them. And so at Guadalupe, at Lourdes, in other places throughout the world, Fatima, in so many different places, Mary comes and gives a message that all centers back on this point of holiness. Everything points back in that direction. At Guadalupe, she says she is our mother, the ever-Virgin Mary, mother of the true God, who will protect us and guide us and see us safely to our homeland. In others, she speaks of penance in Lourdes. At Fatima, about praying the rosary, consecration, devotion, sacrifice. So many different things. All of these things lead to our holiness and salvation. God has a very intimate part of Mary's role in your life and mine so we can save our souls. This leads saints and doctors of the church who have for centuries said this, and this is offensive to the non-Catholics and they hate it, I don't care. Devotion to Mary is necessary for salvation. If you reject Mary, you reject the plan of God for your pathway to holiness. It's as simple as that. It truly is as simple as that. Almighty God is God. We adore him. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God himself. We adore him. Without Almighty God, fallen members of his church, we don't have salvation. But God himself has made Mary so necessary in our lives. This is why we have to look at the mystery of Mary and reflect upon these particular points. As I said before, God could have chosen in any way to bring men to salvation. But he chose to do it through Mary. And that way he created a necessity for men to be saved. And as St. Louis de Montfort says, when speaking about true devotion to Mary, that our best way to gain the most favorable graces from God is to go back to God in the same way he came to us, through Mary. To find her a loving mother, to surrender all things in devotion to her. These things are so important. In this way, Mary intercedes for us. She is our mediatrix of grace before God and men. Another offensive title. Why? Catholics really don't like that one. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and men, they tell us. It says so in the Bible, and I'll prove it to you. It also shows to us in the Scriptures how that great mediator came to us. St. Pius X, Pope Pius XII, and others over the past 100 years or more were ready to proclaim a teaching of Mary, that we honor her as mediatrix of all graces. That means Jesus gained all grace, all source of graces through Jesus Christ while he was on earth. Every act, every breath he took, he gained grace, and a treasury of graces that is infinite for us to draw from. But he has chosen to bring that grace to men through his mother, just as redemption came to men through Mary. He has chosen that the more we pray and honor Mary, the choices of God's graces are ours. We have trials and difficulties, great struggles in our lives. Learn to turn to Mary as a mother, not just a few little prayers mumbled up here and there, but a strong, absolute devotion to her. And the more we do that, the more grace abounds. This is what the fathers and doctors of the church teach us, looking at these various things. I don't care if it's offensive to the non-Catholics. They have no love for Mary anyway. Like Father, the one who wrote the in the Father, almost had the name anyway, the one who wrote in the introduction to the book of True Devotion by St. Louis de Montfort, Father Faber. He says about this devotion to Mary, in which we show such reliance upon her, going to her, to the Son, so the Son can give his graces to his mother and let her dispense them as she sees fit. He says, we live in a time right now that even Catholics are trying to make less of Mary who Mary really is. And that's where our problem is. Even Catholics don't try to foster devotion to Mary as they should, but keep it only at the level of what the Catechism is. Few will meditate on her mysteries. Few will meditate on the mysteries of her rosary, particularly. Few will meditate on the things that we have written about her. Not only the apparitions and what she teaches us at each of the apparitions, but all of these prerogatives I've been explaining and more. To understand them better, to make them part of our lives. Few do it. I dare say few here in the church today. Few listening to me from the camera will hear this sermon when it's uploaded. Few really understand the importance of devotion to Mary and foster it in their lives. Peace of heart and soul, strength against our enemies, all come by devotion to Mary. And so few find it because they choose not to. There are a twofold operation in Mary that we're supposed to learn of as we study this mystery of Mary. One are the virtues that we find in her that we're supposed to imitate in our lives. These are just a few of them. Her humility of heart, to beat down our pride. Her spirit of prayer, so being in conversation with God and be able to pray well, as we should. Her purity, purity of heart, purity of body. Purity is the best expression of our love for God, and it shows great self-discipline in every manner. Mary shows that so greatly in her life, and if there's people struggling in this area, this is why the fathers and doctors of the church say, turn to Mary. She will help you. Turn to her as a mother. Find help and aid in that area. Or else you'll continue to struggle more and more and more, because the aid that you need is right there in front of you, and you don't use it. Another virtue of Mary is her unwavering obedience to God himself, or as we would say also too, unwavering obedience to what the Church of Jesus Christ teaches us and would have us observe. Another operation in Mary that we're called to follow is to look at how Mary intercedes for us. Not just to imitate us in her virtues as we see and to find her holy life and study more about this great mystery, but understand how is this good mother, she intercedes for us. She's always looking for our best welfare. As our queen, she intercedes before us for her son in heaven. Like I said, she is our mediatrix and wins for us all the graces we need. When St. Alphonsus Liguori wrote a beautiful book, and it's available, few people read it today because they think it's too old. It doesn't have the things, so they can't understand his words because his words are too old. We call ourselves traditional Catholics. The words of St. Alphonsus are very important to us. Anyway, he wrote a book called The Glories of Mary, and he wrote it in two parts. The first part explains that wonderful prayer that we pray so frequently, Hail, Holy Queen. Maybe we just mumble through those words, maybe we can recite them, and it just doesn't have as much meaning to us as it should. Read that first part of his book on Glories of Mary. You'll do yourself the best thing you can for yourself if you will reflect upon it. Read it slowly, carefully. See the love and devotion of St. Alphonsus Liguori for the Blessed Virgin Mary and for that prayer. And better understanding every part of that prayer, we'll never pray it sloppily anymore. And we'll be able to understand better and better this mystery of Mary. Like I said, it is so sorry. I'm so sorry to hear of it and see it. That those who try not to understand this mystery, it's one that God wants us to try to understand better and better each day of our lives by prayer, by reflection, by reading, by experiencing her loving intercession for us in every way. And so few understand her because so few turn to her. And we pray that that will change. Toward the closing lines of today's gospel, St. Luke tells us, and again, as we learned during Advent, St. Luke spoke to the Blessed Virgin Mary, so he's only quoting in this gospel what Mary taught him. That after, when they were leaving from the temple, Jesus went back to Nazareth, and he was subject to Mary and to Joseph. And as a result of that, St. Luke says, he waxed strong. Interesting term. He became stronger in life, in virtue. This is the Son of God now. But exteriorly, people see in him someone who waxes strong, who becomes more faithful, more loving, more obedient, more careful, more humble, more prayerful. He waxed strong in virtue because he had that childlike devotion to Mary. Do we need any other example of the life of Jesus Christ during this Christmastide from which to learn? We need to have the devotion that Jesus had toward his mother. If we want to understand this mystery of Mary better and better, follow that example of Jesus. And then we will find it'll grow in our hearts better and better each and every day. We want to be holy. We want to have peace of heart. We want to overcome sin. We want to get bad habits taken away. We all do. Turn to Mary. Be with her as Jesus was. And that strength will be there. Guaranteed. This is such a wonderful, prayerful understanding of who Mary is. God's plan for Mary. God's understanding of it. A mystery that we need to penetrate day by day. And the more we do, the stronger we become. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.